AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. It is going to be a chilly week in the middle of the country. The machinery market continues to reflect fears about the availability of equipment that you need to get the job done this spring. We'll get the details of the WERDA bill and find out if the infrastructure projects that are supposed to be getting done are actually getting done.
Live from an actually getting done Monday morning launch pad via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we begin with a conversation with Machinery Pete Greg Peterson, then it's Representative Sam Graves. Right after the news, Car Kins from BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much.
Did I oversell it? Did I oversell it a little bit?
Sounds like you had a good weekend, man.
I'm so fired up right now. I'm so fired up. My weekend was not without its problems. There were some setbacks. Maybe we can talk about those. You know what? I've actually got a lot to talk about. Can we clear the fourth segment?
Sure. Let's just make plans for that right now.
Because there's just so much to talk about.
Big Apple, call. I was going to say Biden and let him know that we can't.
I would have gone with Elon. Bezos, maybe. I don't know.
Thank you. Yes, call Elon. Let him know that Davis needs to talk. So
yep,
we've got to have segment four.
Got some stuff to get off
my
chest.
After everything I went through to book him.
All right. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
And yellow.
Yeah, it's like 55 degrees or something this morning. It was chilly and clear overnight. Mm-hmm. Low 60s for highs in the middle of the country through the end of the week. And we've got some rain coming, too. We'll get the details on that from Kirk Hins coming up here in just a little bit. Of course, conversation with Machinery Pete. And then Representative Sam Graves from Missouri. Looking forward to the conversation with him because they've passed the WERDA bill, the Water Resource Development Act, and that's a very important funding for the management of the Mississippi and the Missouri rivers, and we need to get the latest from Sam on what is happening there.
Awesome.
All right, man, let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Well, Chip, on Sunday, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack was in Indianapolis, Indiana, to greet the arrival of the first shipment of 132 pallets of infant formula brought to the U.S. under Operation Fly Formula in response to ongoing formula shortages. While manufacturers say the pandemic disrupted their supply chains and Abbott Laboratories' recall of formula in February and the closing of an Abbott plant turned the shortfall into a crisis, prompting President Biden on Wednesday to invoke the Defense Production Act to boost supplies. 132 pallets, Chip, that sounds like a pretty good start.
Well, and it's these are formulas that are very specific for infants and toddlers that cannot handle the proteins in cow milk. So it's not like this formula is going straight on the shelves all across America. That's not the case at all. These are going to some very specific locations.
Well, President Biden is expected today to unveil a list of nations who will be joining a long-anticipated Indo-Pacific trade pact, but Taiwan will not be among them, Chip. The newly forming Indo-Pacific Economic Framework is meant to allow the U.S. to work more closely with key Asian economies on issues including supply chains, digital trade, clean energy, and anti-corruption.
Right, and China's not in it either. And this is an economic pact in order to kind of control a little bit of the economy outside of China. And it comes at a time when President Biden is considering removing the tariffs on some of the Chinese goods. Sometimes this stuff just doesn't make sense.
Well, a consent decree worked out between the Environmental Protection Agency and Biofuel Trade Association Growth Energy would require EPA to propose the renewable volume obligations for 2023. no later than September 16 this year, and then finalize those targets by April 28, 2023. Growth Energy had filed suit against EPA in April, asking a court to impose a schedule on the agency for setting the RVOs. Growth Energy CEO Emily Skor called the new timeline a, quote, significant victory. Meanwhile, the Biden administration will soon announce a plan to give small oil refineries more flexibility in fulfilling older biofuel blending requirements when the facilities are denied exemptions. EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers today will hold an online WOTUS roundtable on the Biden administration's plan to redefine the waters of the United States, which determines jurisdiction of the Clean Water Act. The event is one of 10 roundtables the agency will be conducting through June 24. And Chip, check your calendar. Tomorrow marks 3 months since Russia launched its assault on Ukraine. Since then, a staggering 8 million people in the country have been displaced, according to the UN Refugee Agency. On the ground, tensions remain high, and a Ukrainian presidential advisor said Saturday he has ruled out a ceasefire with Russia, emphasizing Kyiv would not accept any deal with Moscow that involved ceding territory.
It's an astonishing turn when the Ukrainians are saying no to a ceasefire. Wow.
Well, in answer to a reporter's question this morning, President Joe Biden said that the military would intervene to defend Taiwan from any attack from China. The comment was then walked back by White House officials, who later said Biden simply meant the U.S. would provide equipment rather than troops should China invade. And finally, Chip, according to CNN, the White House is exploring the possibility of releasing diesel from a rarely used stockpile to ease the spike in fuel prices. But the reserve is relatively small and will only serve as a temporary solution to buy time. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Kirk Hinds, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Chip. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. Doing well. Except it's chilly, and I don't see a whole lot of improvement here in the middle of the country.
Yeah, at least over the next 3 to 5 days, it's going to be, you know, quite chillier versus normal. But, however, as we're kind of getting into the 5 to 10 day, essentially ending May and into early June, I do foresee a pretty good warm up in that period. So delayed but not denied.
Okay, what about the moisture? We've got some rain in the forecast for here Tuesday into Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So that's pretty much the big show over the next week, is a potent area of low pressure system that's going to move through in the middle part of the week. I think most locations, eastern Kansas, eastern Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, all the way into the Ohio Valley, many areas getting about a half an inch to an inch and a half, some localized higher amounts. And, it's been a little bit less active in the northern plains, northwestern plains too. I'm sure a lot of folks up there are not mad about that whatsoever. And honestly, over the next 7 to 10 days, it's going to be more or less the same. So not super warm, but at least less active. So a lot of the precipitation in the next 7 to 10 days and going forward, you know, that eastern Kansas, Midwest, Ohio Valley area for sure.
Does that look like a, I don't want to say a permanent, but a longer term shift in the pattern?
I think so. I think overall, you know, whether we're getting to, you know, early June or even into the middle part of June, I think more frequent moisture, I think further east in that Kansas area, I think, you know, Missouri, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, the Ohio Valley, Michigan, those areas, even the eastern Dakotas, I think are going to be the focal point of precipitation. I am still concerned, though, for those areas, western Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, eastern Colorado, western Nebraska. I think that's an area to watch for continued dryness going forward.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I stepped out last night onto the deck, and I was like, man, oh, man, if this was January, it would be a real cold night, because the pattern was there. The pattern was there. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Absolutely. You guys have a great week.
Yep. Kirk Hinds, BAMWX.com. All right. We've got Machine Repeat coming up next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Machine Repeat here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com, call 888-996-7801.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us this Monday morning. And Monday morning means that it is time for our weekly conversation with Greg Peterson, Machine Repeat. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning, Chip. How you doing?
We're doing real fine, real fine. All right, let's jump right into it. What have you got for the pick of the week?
Well, pick of the week, we might have an item we haven't featured before, a category of equipment. Okay. But was a sale last Wednesday. Our great friends at Sullivan Auctioneers had an online farm auction, online farm estate auction. I think it was Bon Terre, Missouri. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and I apologize if I am not. But they had a 2005 Featherlite 20-foot aluminum livestock trailer. Very nice condition on the sale. Okay. But it brought $20,000, Chip, which, I mean, that thing's 17 years old. So, wow. I mean, it's not just grain trailers that have been exploding higher in used values here of late in auction pricing, but trailers of all types. And
right.
I guess same truth. I mean, whether it's supply chain or whatever, you know, can you get a new one?
Right.
And then how much has that gone up if you can even get one? So, but yeah, 20K on a 17-year-old 20-foot livestock trailer. That was really something.
Yeah. You know, based on, like you said, can you get a new one? What would that new one cost? I know it's 17 years old, but if that trailer's in good shape, that to me, that seems like a pretty good deal.
Well, that's the classic argument, isn't it? And it was in very nice condition, well taken care of. And, you know, we talk a lot about the pre-tier four, pre-def on the tractors, combines, sprayer side, but you know, older, you know, other type of equipment, you know, a lot of folks just maybe prefer previous models, whether a certain vintage. And again, when you find that one that's really nice, kind of one owner off of, you know, in this case, like off a farm estate there, I've been doing this 32 years. These items have always brought a premium when they're well cared for. It's just that now that it's kind of like a triple premium, but good quality. It's same deal. It pays to take care of your equipment for sure.
Yeah. And that's one of the other trends that that you've been reporting on and talking about is it's not just the row crop side of the equipment, the used equipment market that's showing strength. The livestock side of things are participating in this as well.
Yeah. There's no angle or sector that's missing out. I know I did I'll have another item I can touch on here in a minute from Oklahoma last week, but the construction side of things, the mini excavators, the dozers.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just as hot. So they're really, I've been asked this a couple times, but I don't see any soft spots right now. And I know that's frustrating when you're needing to update or looking to buy, but again, the numbers just kind of tell the story. It's, you know, used values are just up.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else at that sale down there in Missouri?
Yeah, there was smaller horse tractors have been very strong for the past couple of years. They had a 2019 John Deere 5100E, 949 hours on it. One owner with a loader that brought 56.5. It's kind of an interesting side note. That's the third. It's not a record, but it's the third highest auction price ever on a 5100E with a loader. But I got looking, Chip, in our website, machinerypeat.com. And of course, all our auction prices are free to view there. But actually, the eight highest auction prices ever on 5100Es have all come in the last 8 months. So, I mean, it doesn't get more telling than that.
No.
The values, they've just gone up. So, you know, like I say, 56.5 on a three-year-old with, you know, just under 1,000 hours there last Wednesday in Missouri.
Yeah, and I was just going to point out, that's not a huge number of hours, but I wouldn't call that low hours on a 2019 unit.
No, in fact, I got looking, the only two higher, and this I found interesting, was back in mid-December on a consignment auction out of Oklahoma, which again, you're starting to get a little farther south there, but there was a 5100E with 654 hours on a loader that brought... that came in at 58, so just a shade higher. But historically, you know, the consignment auctions don't tend as much to produce the record pricing. But the last 18 months, it doesn't matter what type of auction it's selling on. If it's good condition, it's through the roof.
All right. Well, let's talk. Let's get a report on last week's Machine Repeat online auction. How'd that go for you?
Yeah, it went very well last Tuesday. Thank you, everyone out there in listener land, for supporting the auction, getting on there and bidding. And very, very strong sale again. Just a couple highlights. There was a Batwing mower that I was really watching. Again, another one out of Oklahoma. It was a 2019 John Deere HX15. It had only been used once. And Armitage Equipment put this on the auction. So obviously, we knew it was going to be high. I mean, a like new. But it brought $18,000, which, you know, when I looked, that is the highest auction price ever in the U.S. on an HX15. And very similar here, Chip. The three highest auction prices ever in the U.S. on an HX15 Batwing mower, all in the past 2 months. So very strong price there. The tractors did very well last Tuesday on the sale. We had a 1983 John Deere 4250, came out of Colorado. Two-wheel drive, just under 3,500 hours. That went 44,750. I think that might be like the fourth or fifth highest ever two-wheel drive. And again, pushing 3,500 hours. 2015, John Deere 7210R, just under 5,200 hours out of Kansas, came in at 80,500. So again, for over 5,000 hours, strong there. And then a baler, a 2019 Case IH RB565 round baler. I think it had like 500 and some bales through it. That brought $30,000. And then I guess if you want to hop out to New Jersey, we did see a Kubota MX5800 HST. That thing only had 163 hours on it. I think it had a foldable ROPS with a loader that brought 28.5. So scraping 30K there on that size of Kubota. Again, it was strong bidding on the good use tractors.
Well, and that's proof that the acreage owners are in the market for equipment as much as farmers are.
Right. It's been a very active segment. And I do need to tease this out now, Chip. Our next Machine Repeat monthly online auction course coming in June. It's June 21st. And folks out there, if you have an item or your couple items, your whole line you want to sell, give us a call, 844-727-6374. But there's one tractor. I think we're going to have it on our June auction. It's a John Deere 4640 with 1,800 hours. Now, it's about the nicest one I've ever seen. I know 3 years ago, Sullivan sold one just outside of Mankato, Minnesota for $61,000. But I'm telling you, this one is incredible. I'm hoping to be able to do some video and tell the story on it leading up to the auction. So it should be fun.
Absolutely. That'll be a fun one for sure. For sure. You've mentioned Oklahoma a couple of times. You got anything else from down there?
Yeah, it's been busy down there. A week ago Saturday, there was an interesting little auction by Rosenfeld Auctions. Some interesting items. They had a 22 model Deere 450K dozer. Now, it only had 19 hours on it. So, I mean, it's just brand new.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
It brought $133,000, which, not surprising, of course, that's a record we'd expect it to be in that that vintage. But the previous high was $109 last November on a 19 model out of Mississippi. Now, also on that sale, another record price was a 2020 John Deere 5090E. So very similarly, smaller horse we just talked about. This one had a loader. Also, ironically, only had 19 hours on it. It brought $60,000. The previous record was 57.5, just set back in late March. And also UTVs have been pretty hot the last couple of years. And they had a 2016 Kubota RTV 1100 side-by-side diesel, 882 hours with a new bed liner that brought 16,000. So, it was 6 years old, 16K. So That was a very good sailor. That was in Noble, Oklahoma.
Wow. Yeah, they had to be happy with the results of that one. Good grief. That one sounds pretty hot.
I'm sure they were. I started saying it last October. I've never seen a better time to be a seller than the current conditions. It's just is what it is.
Yep, exactly. Hey, we got about a minute left. What are you watching in the week ahead?
Well, I'm hoping to get some fun video. I wish I could have been there Saturday, but Pine Island, Minnesota. You folks maybe saw the video I did. Randy Van Wy. He's doing he did a plow day with his 12 1970 model International Gold Demonstrator tractors. And Randy was going to have someone shoot video and send it to me so I could post a YouTube video. So stay tuned for that, folks. It should be great fun to see those 12 gold demos out in the field doing their thing.
All right. Very cool. Real quick, Greg, tell us again when the next Machinery Pete auction is going to be.
Yeah, it'll be Tuesday, June 21st. Again, folks, give us a call, 844-727-6374. If you got something to sell, we'll help you find a buyer.
Fantastic, Greg. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. You take care. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great, Chip.
All right. That is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, right here on AgriTalk. Coming up next, Representative Sam Graves from Missouri. That's next here on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady joins us. Beej, we had strength across the grain markets earlier in the session. Wheat is holding on to some of the gains, corn holding on to gains, but the soy complex has fallen under some hefty pressure. What's going on there?
Well, I think a pullback, soy complex was a lot stronger, especially soybeans and soy meal than everything else, which weakened last week. So, we're just seeing some corrective trade in here and a pullback, especially in the meal and soybean market. Soy oil trading with a mixed tone here at mid-morning.
Okay, very good. The wheat trade it's still trading higher. Ongoing concern about global supplies or what's happening there?
Yeah, I think some of that, the HRW crop concerns and those types of things. There are some rains in the forecast for HRW areas. So I'm probably too late to do much for the bulk of that crop. But, still holding us back somewhat, I think, on that front in terms of these corrective gains.
All right. Very good. Cattle on feed report on Friday was deemed a bit negative for the market, but it seems to be taking it pretty well.
Yeah, I think part of that is that we'd dropped so hardly into the report, especially in those deferred contracts, took quite a bit of premium out going into the report. So that's mitigating some of the losses here this morning and really just trading with a mildly weaker tone in most of those contracts here mid-morning.
Gotcha. All right. Even feeder cattle are trading a little bit to the upside here this morning, except for in that May contract, but can't really take a lot from that. Hogs, nice rally.
Absolutely. So, strong rally to finish out last week, finished on weekly highs. And then here we are with moderate to strong gains to kick off the week. So good follow through.
Good stuff. Thanks, Brian. Pro Farmer editor, Brian Grady.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news. We render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us this morning. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We've got Davis Michelson with us as well. Was that you on the cowbell right there, Davis?
It was me on the cowbell.
Good.
And actually, just to back it up, I sort of was air cowbelling too just then.
Yeah.
Just good. You know, give it a little more, you know, a little more.
Hey, man, it's Monday morning.
It's Monday morning. Why not?
All right. Let's get to a conversation right now with Congressman Sam Graves. He is representing the 6th District of Missouri. He is the ranking member of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Representative Graves, welcome back to AgriTalk. How are you?
Great. Doing great. Thanks, Tripp.
Good, good, good. Okay, let's start with WRDA, the Water Resource Development Act. It's made its way out of committee now, hasn't it?
It has made its way out of committee, which is a big first step.
Yep.
And it's on its way. Lord, it's a very bipartisan bill. We've got so many good things in there, and that's what happens when when we do something that's bipartisan is we get a good piece of legislation rather than something partisan that ends up being a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We've talked in the past when we've talked about WRDA bills is that it is critical when these bills are passed to make sure that the Corps stays focused on managing those rivers and flood control and keeping it open for commerce. I would assume that that's the focus on this WRDA again.
It was a big focus. There's a few things in there. For instance, no more IRCs. We put a strict moratorium on these inception ring complexes, which are habitat reclamation, until the Corps can prove that these things work. And we also brought the stakeholders in. We did specifically allow for two, and it was the stakeholders and the navigators on the river that were able to choose where the Corps was going to put those. We made changes at least to the Corps buying property along the river. They had 166,000 acres. They weren't counting property that's being bought by other federal agencies for habitat mitigation. And so we've thrown that all in there together so that it's all counted. And that limits the Corps on buying any more new property. Also buying property to dump, dredging material. They need to find a good use for that material. There's just a lot of good things in there, and it does. It specifically directs the Corps rather than kind of giving them a broad outline on and hoping that they do what we would like to see.
Right, right. Well, when it comes to those wildlife mitigation projects, it seems like this should at least keep them focused on the projects that they're working on right now. Is that kind of the goal of it? Quit adding projects, just get done what you've got going?
Absolutely it is.
Yeah, good.
And that's one of the problems with the Corps is just...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I think we got cut off there.
I'm afraid that we lost Representative Graves. Hopefully he will dial back in and I'll be watching for a message from Joe to get him back in here. Here he comes right now.
Well, that sounds like something.
We got
there he is. Yeah, we've got you back. Thanks for jumping back on there. These projects, I'm not saying that they're not worth doing, but some of them, the scale of these wildlife mitigation projects, they were massive, and I don't know if they were doing exactly what was what they were designed to do. But we can talk about that some other time, because I know that managing those waterways for flood protection and taking care of levees is very high on your list as well, right?
That is top of my list.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that priorities are navigation and flood control, protecting people behind those levees and farms and businesses and communities.
Right. And with all the disruptions that we've had on the supply chains, Representative Graves, I got to believe that making sure that the channel is as clear on the Missouri and on the Mississippi as we can get them, that's also got to be up the priority list, right?
It is. Navigation is a big part of obviously what WRDA is about, and obviously the use of those rivers. We do have people out there that are trying to stop, the use of the rivers for commerce. They want to see the rivers free flowing, and obviously manage them based on habitat for fish and birds. And it's very frustrating. But this bill, we had a couple of things in there that we weren't necessarily happy about, but we can live with them. And it was a good compromise. And that focus is on navigating flood control.
Okay, excellent. What's the outlook going forward? What's the next step?
I would imagine it'll pass the House fairly easily since it had broad support within committee. Then we move on to the Senate, and the Senate will do their work, and then we'll come to conference and work out the differences. This is the fifth time we've been able to do a very good bill. And we're staying on track every 2 years to reauthorize the water resources bill. And so I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to get this done this year and it'll slide on through.
Excellent. Excellent. Good work on it. President Biden was in Japan over the weekend, and he announced that there's an agreement on some sort of an Indo-Pacific economic framework. Have you been briefed on that yet, Congressman?
I have not, you know, and I'm hearing rumors about it and you know, it's hard to figure out what the real story is. So hopefully we're going to get briefed on it when we come back, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about that. You know, we just want to make sure that we maintain, obviously, our nation's sovereignty and we want to make sure that, you know, that we don't give up. You know, too much when it comes to some of these agreements.
Right, right. Okay. I'd love to talk to you after you are briefed and get your take on it. Implementation of the infrastructure plans. Are projects getting started on the infrastructure projects?
They're still moving money out the door. There is no start on any of the projects as of yet, and it takes time to get the money out. The main focus that the Transportation Committee we're going to have is obviously oversight. When you start throwing that much money out the door, it is ripe for fraud and abuse, and so we're going to be spending all of our time just doing oversight and making sure that the letter of the law is followed and we don't see the administration. It doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat administration. Administrations and bureaucrats within those, they try to move dollars around outside of what the intent of the law is. And so we're going to be spending a lot of time doing just that too. Making sure that it stays within.
The oversight and making sure that the money goes where it's supposed to go and the projects are getting done and so important. How about in fighting inflation? Is the administration doing enough to fight inflation, or is there anything that you think they can do about it?
Well, if we would slow the spending down, it would help a tremendous amount. You know, that and you know, if the president would just, you know, pay attention to what the core factors are. You take gasoline, and yesterday I went in and filled up the one of the planting tractors. And I took on 99 gallons of diesel fuel, and it cost me about $520 for that one fill up. And it was extraordinarily frustrating to hear all this talk about, you know, how this is corporate greed and oil greed. Well, the fact of the matter is that it's supply and demand. Oil is traded on a commodity exchange, just like every other commodity out there, whether that's corn and soybeans or silver or gold or lumber. And it's set by supply and demand. And this president has created a supply problem, or at least the perception of a supply problem, when he declared war on the petroleum industry. And then he came in and he shut down pipelines, and he would not allow any more drilling permits on federal lands. If he came out tomorrow and opened that up, allowed permitting for new pipelines and opened up those oil and gas leases, it would instantly drive prices back down because of its supply side economics, because of the, you know, the supply increase that's going to be coming. So the president has a direct impact on areas of inflation. And one of them right now that's just hurting, you know, working families is the price of gasoline. And then businesses, obviously, the price of diesel fuel. And he could have an impact tomorrow, but they want prices to be high, I believe. I think they want us to quit driving our vehicles.
Well, Interior Secretary Holland wouldn't say that wouldn't say the prices are too high, that gas prices are too high last week. And Energy Secretary Granholm basically said, well, you know, this will accelerate our move to clean energy. So I think you might be right on that. It's frustrating.
And, you know, and the irony, it is. And the irony of that is, you know, they want us to move to electric vehicles, which is going to put a further strain on the power grid. And we don't have the capacity now to, if everyone switched to electric vehicles, we don't have the capacity to charge those electric vehicles. So we need cheap energy, and we have cheap energy right here in the United States, and we should be using it.
That's right. That's right. I've only got about 30 seconds here, but I know that rural health care is high on your priority list. How are we doing following the pandemic?
Well, rural hospitals, they got hit very hard. They really did. They took a beating. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to fix a few things that are a problem out there, one of them being Medicare reimbursement from the federal government. We need to speed that up, and we need to make sure that our rural hospitals are fully reimbursed. That's just one area. Rural hospitals are hurting right now.
Okay. Representative Graves, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Congressman Sam Graves from Missouri. Davis and I will be right back.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Yeah, why not? We'd love to hear from you. You are why we are here. Chip, fair statement?
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Your pal Davis Michelson on this lovely, if not a little chilly, Monday morning here on AgriTalk. Chip Flory here with us as well. Kirk Hinz, Machinery Pete, and Representative Sam Graves. I want to get to some of Representative Graves' comments.
Okay.
I had an eventful weekend, Chip.
Okay.
I injured myself just a little bit.
Oh, no.
Just very minor.
Okay.
But
very minor? Are we talking like paper cut? What are we talking?
There was blood. There was blood.
Okay.
And there was ibuprofen involved.
Okay.
So here's the deal. I purchased my news Jeep in 2014. Around that same time, I decided, you know what? Given my rugged and, you know, active lifestyle, I may at some point want to use some rooftop sort of storage. So I got myself a roof rack. And of course, that requires the bars, you know, that go, that go crossways across. That was clear back in 2014.
Right.
A few years later,
Just getting around to installing those?
I did. I deinstalled. I de-stalled them because.
Okay.
Oh, and it was a nightmare too, bro. I don't know why I got it in my head, but I don't like the idea of stuff being frozen up. A few years ago, I decided, because it's got a little lock on the bars, you know, so no one can, I guess, unhook them and steal your crossbars. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I noticed that they were getting probably just a little corroded, maybe a little rusty in there. I didn't spend a ton of money on them to begin with. You know, you get what you pay for.
Right. Sure.
And it just occurred to me over the weekend, dude, let's just check those and just see if everything is still working the way it's supposed to.
No.
They were completely seized up.
Right.
And so here I am. I took the rack off the top, which is a whole separate component. That's fine. That's intact. Okay. And so I thought, I'm just going to take these suckers off, and next time I'm just going to replace them with something that's not corroded so I can adjust it as needed. And in the process, I'm grunting and straining and, you know, shaking the Jeep back and forth from side to side. Yeah. And I wound up, as a bass player, I've got little calluses on the tips of my fingers on my right hand from boom, 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 from the plucking.
Right.
And somehow I ripped one of those suckers off right off the tip of my finger. And it's not a huge wound.
No.
But I'm sitting here trying to take notes during the show, and my pen hits right on it. Earlier, as I was typing the news, you know, it was difficult. And I kept having to backspace and respell words and things, and there were extra characters. A serious annoyance. So I was a little bit ticked off. And I try not to get upset.
You got a big gig coming up here before too long, don't you?
I got a month. I'll be fine. Oh. It wouldn't be my first time playing hurt. I'm good. So I'm still working away on these roof rack things.
Oh, jeez.
The attachments. And I got three of them. The fourth one I just absolutely could not get. And so now I'm just darn frustrated. There was some mild profanity, I'm ashamed to admit.
You may need a grinder of some sort.
I decided what I was going to do is get out the stepladder and climb up there with my Dremel and cut the sucker off.
Yeah.
And as I'm climbing I let myself get so excited and upset. I'm climbing the stepladder like two steps up. I twist, and you ever get these little back spasm kind of things where your back just kind of just for a second?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got one of those. And it's been a few years since I've had one. I used to get them all the time when I was shoeing horses.
Right.
And I just decided, you know what? Let's just calm down a little bit. Dremel will get the job done. And it did.
All right.
And it was fine.
Okay.
I've got my annual physical coming up this afternoon.
Okay.
And I kind of got to thinking about personal health. And I just want to preach just for a second. And it segues perfectly into Sam Graves' conversation.
I was wondering when we were going to get there.
We're almost there, buddy. We're almost there. Hang with me. I don't know. I don't want to come off as preaching at you good people, but this is a message that I needed to hear as well. Going to my physical, I'm actually looking forward to it this year. There have been years in the past when I went into this deal thinking, well, I know exactly what the doctor's going to say. I know. I need to do this, so I need to do that. I should do these things. They always say the same thing every time I go into the doctor, and I hate it, so I don't go to the doctor. Here's a thought. Do those things.
Oh.
Then go get a physical and
blow
the doors off that doctor's office.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh, your numbers look so good. How did you ever get so healthy? I never thought it was possible. Do those things. Just a thought. If you know what your doctor is going to say, and that is keeping you from going to get your physical and to get a checkup every once in a while, do those things. Just do them. Just a thought. A little public service message. But also, and then Representative Graves swung around right toward the end there to rural health.
Yep.
That might be a way that you can do your small part in your corner of the world to help your local rural health organizations, your rural hospital, your doctor. Maybe if there's something that you can do to keep yourself from having a massive, enormous heart attack and clogging up the system, well, it would behoove you and your local rural health system if maybe you would do the things that would just help, you know, just chip away a little bit. Don't get crazy. Don't overdo it at first. A little at a time. Baby steps. That's my public service announcement. And it all started with me cussing at the roof rack on my Jeep. And really, once I put the Dremel to the job, it was a piece of cake.
Sure.
I don't know why I got so excited. It also felt good to hear Representative Graves say, I think they want us to stop driving our vehicles. It'd be easy to relegate that to the land of conspiracy theory. Oh, put on your tinfoil hat. Here we go. They don't want us to drive. A representative in U.S. Congress said it, Chip.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. We had a conversation, we being me and Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, about that this morning on DC Signal to Noise. Oh, and we also had a conversation about the ESGs, the environmental social governance initiatives that are in place right now. Obviously, we need to spend more time with that, and we will in episodes ahead. All right. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Appreciate it. Got to come back this afternoon. Phil Conrad from Tradus LLC, right here on AgriTalk.